expire the heat. So, thanks for coming. It's like, you know, we should have had fans. And I'm Mary Griffin, those of you who don't know me. And I'm just going to say a couple of words about what you're going to see tonight, which is, of course, a work in progress. And I'll just tell you a little bit about the genesis of the piece. I've known Leroy Jenkins for longer than either of us will admit. We met at the kitchen some years ago when he was performing there. And I was fool enough to say to him, he said, you know, I knew his name. And I said, oh, my mother's name was Jenkins, which he wasn't at all interested in. And, you know, but he's a polite guy, so I said, oh, really? And, you know, later that night I think, you don't say that to an African American. You say that in Wales, right, where everybody is related. And so I was, you know, it was one of those things you wake up at 3 in the morning and think, that was one of the things I should have said this. But then when Leroy, some years later, asked me if I'd work on a piece with him, other than saying, yes, I said, after I put the phone down and I called him back, I said, well, why don't we work on the fact that we have a family name in common, Jenkins. Now, Jenkins is a very common name where I come from, which is Wales, South Wales, in, to be specific. I won't tell you the etymology of the name, but, you know, the Welsh, there's only 2.5 million of us right now. And so there's a certain amount of inbreeding in Wales. But some of them got out and went here, there, and everywhere. Most of them didn't get much farther than London, where they were despised by the English, still are. There's a lot of anti-Welsh jokes, not as many as anti-Irish jokes, but. And some of them got all the way to the United States, mainly as coal miners, or farmers, some in Wisconsin. Some of them, I have found out, got to Tennessee, which is where Leroy's family is from. His father grew up in a place called Prospect, Tennessee. And there weren't many prospects in Tennessee, so at an early age, he got on, he rode the rails to Chicago, hanging on to, I mean, I thought riding the rails was sort of getting in the freight car, right? For black people, it was different. You hung on to the bottom of the car because the white hobos, transients, in 1926, this is, wouldn't let you in the car. So his Uncle Henry, his Uncle Buck, hung on to the bottom of the car and got to Chicago and went back. I don't know if he came back the same way, but he came back to Prospect and brought Leroy's father, Henry, to Chicago. Leroy and I had been spending a lot of time together with Carlotta Schulman. He's disappeared.
Oh, there she is.
Behind the camera. We produced a piece of his and Homer Jackson's in Philadelphia called Three Willies, which is coming to the kitchen in November. And we spent a lot of time on the New Jersey Turnpike going up and down, and we learned a lot about each other that way. And Leroy has one great story after another. And my mother has one great story after another. And I was lucky enough to, I was lucky enough to videotape her in the last years of her life. She died at the age of 97. And get some of these stories. Now what we have here is the overture. And these are an attempt to sort of a dramatis personae. As I point out, the sheep is related, the sheep are also related to the Welsh. Anyway, there's a dirty story behind that. But so everybody here is related to Leroy or me, and the landscapes or the places are places that we grew up in. And what we're trying to do here with the help of Joe Reinsel, whom we were lucky enough to find in Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute when we went up there for an artist residency and fell into interactivity, was to take these images. Oh, I forgot to tell you where they came from. Leroy Carlotta and I went to Wales and stayed with my family, talked to members of my family. I took them around parts of Wales. And we did a lot of videotaping while we were there. And then we went to Chicago. That's the Ebenezer Baptist Church over there with those beautiful windows where Leroy learned to play the violin and at the age of 8. And my mother is figuring here, and his mother is figuring there, and there's more sheep. So what we've been doing is processing that video to become the overture. And that's about as far as we've got. And then the other part of the evening is a couple of songs on the themes of the piece, the things that we're trying to work on next. And it's a rough sketch, but I hope that you'll get the idea. And Blue Jean and Leroy in this first piece, Leroy is controlling these images. He kept saying, "I am not in control," but he is now. And Blue Jean interferes. Okay, so there we go.
I mean, good. good tone, good everything. I mean, it was fantastic. Right away, boy, I wanted to do that. You know, my mother being like she was, she got right on the case right away. And she went to Montgomery Ward. That's where she had this account. She had an account in Montgomery Ward. And found a violin in Montgomery Ward. Well, half size of it. Cheapest pump, $25 she paid for it. It was like a toy. It's not really a good violin. It sounds, it's awful sound. You know, I don't like something like that. When I started taking lessons, it was scratchy. It sounded very bad.
You don't know how I'm gonna read it.
Thank you. Is your name Jenkins?
It always had money.
My dad, he had a brother.
Yeah.
His name is Buck.
Yeah.
And he came to Chicago by rails.
He couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
My dad free sold he had a brother.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Buck.
Yeah.
And he came to Chicago by rail. Brother.
Yeah.
His name is Buck.
Oh, yeah.
Your name? Gens?
It's
fine. He came to Chicago by rails. Afford the fare. So they had to get there free, so they had to freight.
Is your name? Your name?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's about 90 miles south. My dad's father.
What?
right
chain! despair.
I'm taking myself away, far, far away from here.
To prepare you for the last piece, I'm sort of making my debut as a singer. What's happening here is that Mary wrote some lyrics about an incident that I had when I was going to school in at Florida A&M. I was a working musician, you know, to supplement money to go to school. I played gigs on the saxophone, and I was in Florida, and it was in 1950, and segregation was going on, and so we used to go at night to play this. It was a moonshine place, actually. They sold moonshine, and they danced, and we played. And so one night on the way to the job, the lights went out on the driver's car. The lights went out, but the moon was shining real bright, and we could see the road. So we figured we could just make it by the light of the moon. And so we proceeded down the highway, and we were stopped by the sheriff. And so the sheriff stopped us and asked us questions. And I was from Chicago. My home was from Chicago, so I had a different accent. And so when I spoke, he turned around and looked at me a little differently because everybody else in the crowd were from the South. So he said, he asked me, he said, "So where are you from, boy?" So I told him, I was real jazzy. I told him, I'm from Chicago, you know. He said, "Oh." So he said, "Oh, we got a boy here from Chicago," he says, you know. So he kind of fooled around with me and everything, you know. And so he said, "Well, I tell you what, do you know Dixie?" He asked me, I heard the song, but I'd never played it in my life. So he says, "Well, look here, I'll tell you what, I'll let you go if you play Dixie." So I was playing the saxophone, and I had never played Dixie in my life. I mean, that's just not something that we played in Chicago when coming up. So I took out my, so the guy says he'd let us go, and it was very important for us to make this job because, you know, we made money. I was able to live off that, so I was going to try it. So I got my saxophone, and I, you know, I oohed and ahed and just, I couldn't, you know, I didn't hit any, so, and everybody was laughing. You know, the sheriff was laughing, his partner was laughing, the guys in the band was laughing. It was just quite embarrassing that I couldn't play this piece. I did everything I could. I mean, I considered myself a good musician and everything, and I just couldn't play Dixie. You know, that was really, it was a drag. You know, I just really felt very bad about it. And so then the sheriff took us to jail. And this is what this piece is about. And it was about C.D. Jackson. That's the guy we worked for. So he came and got us out, you know, because he knew C.D. and everything. So C.D. just came in with his hat in his hand, so to speak, that kind of thing. He knew how to act, how to, you know, he wasn't like I was. I mean, he knew the code there. So he came in with his hat in his hand, and C.D. just let us go, and we went on back and made the job that night. So anyway, Mary took this story and made it into a song. And actually, it's going to be sung by a group of guys. We're going to have two or three, four singers to sing it. So tonight, I'm going to try it. So you might, you know, so indulge me. Okay. There you go.
Blountstown, Florida, 1955. We're the stars of the Tallahassee Music Department, students at Florida A&M, students at Florida A&M. We got a boss jazz group. I play alto saxophone. We are five young fine musicians responding to a telephone call. From C.D. Jackson, who booked us to play at the Bluntstown American Legion Hall. Now, Bluntstown is west of Tallahassee, an hour by car at most. Eugene Kearney. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. thank you very much. This is just the beginning. And we're very happy to have the opportunity and so happy that you came out to hear the little bit that we have to offer towards something that we hope to be much longer and much more together. I mean, we're working with Mary and I, we're working with this NATO, and we know nothing. And Joe here, Rensel, he's the great man here. Give him a hand, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's starting from scratch. I mean, we are kind of like building from nothing. I mean, actually, to try to do this. The machine jumped around a little bit tonight. Sometimes it's still a little uncontrollable. I mean, it has its own mind right now, but we're going to try to bring it around to our mind. So we hope you enjoyed our offering, and thank you very much. Excuse me, I must, with our wonderful singers, weren't they just beautiful? Weren't they wonderful? They were so beautiful, right. Thank you very much. Yeah, yes. I must say, I have to also add that they came in and did this within two rehearsals. I mean, they just came in and did as you can see, it was fantastic the way they came through. So I thank you very much again. It's very beautiful. Okay, good night.